How do I tell them?
How do I tell them?
How do I pay the bills?
How do I pay the bills? I know what goes through your head when you're living with cancer. The questions, the fears, the need to know. How do I know? Because I'm living with cancer too. That's why I joined the Macmillan online community. And we can help people like you, whatever you need to ask. To join us, search Macmillan online community.
Well, hello everybody, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on Yield Roughs. I'm Ronnie. Hi, that's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Good. Good to see you, hon. You getting ready for these big holidays? How's Hanukkah been so far? How's Hanukkah been treating you, huh?
You know, Hanukkah's been nice. I haven't actually done anything very Hanukkah-y. I think I'm going to try to make some latkes tonight because, you know what, the only thing I've done over the past 8 days has been I've gone to a holiday cookie party, which was actually more Christmassy than Hanukkah-y. So I'm going to try to do something Jewish tonight and make latkes. How's Hanukkah
been
for
you? That's nice. Hanukkah's been great for me. I get myself a gift every day.
Good.
So it's been really fun. But I just make them simple, like bananas.
Okay.
Some days. Mm-hmm. I got some new moisturizer. That was super fun.
That's nice.
I kind of like, I like mixing it both. I think I'm going to, if I ever do get married, I'm going to marry a Jewish person so I could do both things. Mm. Because I really like the gift every day, and then I like a lot of gifts on one day as well. So that's what I'm going to work on. Also, I'm wearing my Naaman shirt. So that's my first time wearing it.
That's a Hanukkah gift right there.
Yeah, that was a Hanukkah gift to myself. You can get it at crappensmerch.com. Also, everybody, thanks so much for being here. So many recaps going on. We're having such a good time. We're going to be doing Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip, the first episode, and then the second and third episodes, probably over Christmas time somewhere, when we'll be on break. And also, Matt and Jake from Reality Gaze joined us for another holiday recording. This one is a four-part episode recapping Ladies of the 80s, which is starring a bunch of 80s divas. And that's a Lifetime Christmas movie. And it was wow. It was...
it's a wow.
I had an esophageal... Riveting. Stricture by the time that was done. My throat started to close up by the time that was done.
It is, we've gone on record, or at least I've gone on record to say it is the worst Christmas movie that we've covered on the show. Actually, it might be the worst Christmas movie I've ever seen. I might give it that honor. It may be a globally bad movie.
That's huge. That is huge. Guys,
yes,
we've seen a lot of doozies here. Wow.
Listen, I've seen variety of Christmas movies. What's wrong, Ronnie?
I've been thinking about. I'm trying to get this magnetic thing to charge my phone, and I can never put it on the magnet right. I'm an idiot. Okay, but I'm a single person living alone. Well, I mean, I live with my dog, but I feel so weird, like putting on a fire and then watching Christmas movies. Is that weird? Do people, is that like, I feel like it's like drinking alone. You know how when you're drinking at home alone, you're an alcoholic? Mm. Sorry, Sutton. Is it sad when you're watching Christmas movies at home alone?
I think that's literally what they're designed for. I think that is the target demo. Yeah, that's what I'm going to assume. I think the target demo is you're alone. Sitting there with some bonbons, enjoying like this Christmas movie. Like, if you're with people, it's either that or you're going to be, the demo is like sarcastic gays watching together, making fun of them as they play. But yeah,
well, maybe I'll do that later. Alone. And if I get lonely, I'll just go on my Instagram and make stories about it. So I can at least get comments back. I can watch with you guys instead. So I don't know. We also did a Vanderpump Rules trailer breakdown, trailer trash, as we call them. That is on our Patreon. It's also available as a video, as is this, on Crappens On Demand. So hi, everybody. Thanks for the support. Okay, hi. So let's get into it. Today is Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Very huge episode. Because it's an esophagus fight. And listen, yeah. I love a good esophagus fight. I hope that Erica makes a joke about deep throating. I just don't see it happening. but I believe in America.
It's not really her brand, but we'll see. We'll see what happens when that proverbial elevator door opens up and who's inside.
Okay, so let's go. So here we go. Mauricio and Kyle and Kyle's $19 million purse are in this scene. Yes. This is, did you notice Kyle had her purse like sitting right on her shoulder in this fucking Kyle?
Yeah. Man. It was like color coded.
Oh, we're supposed to be nice to Kyle. Yeah, it was a, nice one.
I am going to be nice to Kyle today.
During that part, but not during this part. Yeah, not during this part. We're not there yet.
We're not there yet. And honestly, by the way, I just want to point out the music was so intense during this, like previously on. And it's so funny how music changes the tone because like the music was like dun 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 dun. And I was like angry already. I was like, I can't believe what's happening on this show. And I was like, wait, like literally nothing has happened. Like the dog is lying on the floor. But the music was so intense that I was immediately shifted by it.
Like those videos where they just put horror movies over like innocent videos.
Yeah. Like Peter Gabriel, Salisbury Hill. They're like, The Shining was just a coming-of-age movie.
Yeah. Another thing about the music. Guys, listen, I know Trixie Monocle is not an easy artist to deal with. We all know it. Yeah. She's got drug issues. She's got alcohol issues. She still wants to smoke inside. I mean, God. Listen, people are famous. I get it. But even famous people are like, I don't smoke anymore. It's like, Trixie, you can't just walk into a Chili's and start smoking. And no, they don't have a VIP section in a Chili's to stop asking. Look, I know Trixie Monocle is a difficult person. It's not the easiest band in general to work with. But did you fire them? Because the music on this show is awful terrible today. I mean, my God, awful. What is it? Terrible.
There was one song that was like, and I was like, what is this song? And then there was some terrible rap. My least favorite is when they play their shitty royalty-free rap music that's like sung by some teenager from Bel Air, and it's over footage of like Ventura Boulevard in Encino. I was like, what tone are you trying to establish here? Okay, it was just terrible. She knows what she's doing.
We are going to, talk about microaggressions a little bit today, class. So thanks for coming. But we are. That'll be later. But also, a little. But also, I feel like whoever is doing the music currently, not Trixie, whoever this new person is, has some microaggressions going on. I mean, I don't really appreciate that everybody they play, like, it's like a girl power song, and then it gets to Garcelle, and every single time they play, like, rap. Like, come on, you guys. Really?
I didn't even notice
like,
that.
I feel like it's, wow, like some little, I feel like it's like you said, like some white teenager in Bel Air who's like, oh, it's a black cast member. Like, make it rap. Like, come on. Just, you guys, this is so fucking embarrassing sometimes. Who's doing the music?
Can we just get back to some Alan Lazar? Can we get back to some Alan Lazar synthesized violins?
Thank you. I need my song.
Can we get back to Tea Party music?
Yeah, what was it? It's like, Kyle is upset when the doorbell rings. And then you listen to it. It's like, dun 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 dun.
Yeah, he really has some great, he has some great bangers there. You know, like he really created like the building blocks of the Beverly Hills sound. And I feel like the fact that they're now dipping into like the songs that couldn't even make it onto Selling Sunset is like, that's just so beneath the show, you know?
I know. Trixie is booked on so many other shows now that Bravo's like, we're not paying her. You know, this is what happens. You know, this is the reality reckoning. You don't pay Trixie what she's worth, she's out of there. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe we can just make it that Trixie got better offers and she's booked and busy instead of everybody banning Trixie because she won't stop smoking in her Chili's.
I mean, how does this show turns back on such bangers as Bel Air Tea Party? You know, I can press play because. Oh, is it not going to work? Alan Lazar, your website doesn't even work right now. That is
don't
a fucking shame.
Don't even say that. Don't say anything bad about Alan Lazar.
But his website isn't working and I'm trying to play his beautiful music.
Oh my gosh. I'm gonna
what about if I try to play I Love Shopping? Come on, play I Love. Come on, Alan Lazar. All his songs are not playing. I think his player is broken.
Alan, Jiggy versus come Kingsley, on, bro.
Invasive Illness, The Gospel of Shopping. These are all wonderful songs.
I love
Come on,
shopping.
Bro. Alan, come on, your music. Maybe I should try it in a different browser.
Well, you're. Oh, I can hear it on mine.
You can?
Yeah, but I can't. I don't have this set. Oh my god, now it won't stop playing. Dun dun dun. Dun 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 dun.
Bring. Dun, dun, I feel really left out that mine's
that
not working.
One was called, just in case you guys couldn't hear it, but I hope you heard it in your head, and I hope you heard my bring, because there's a lot of those. I forgot about that. And then the violin, do 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 bring, do 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 bring, and that one's called I Wonder About Yolanda. I Wonder About Yolanda.
Oh, that's a classic. I Wonder About Yolanda. I feel like we played that before. Oh, here we go. Here we go. This is I Love Shopping. It's a classic.
I can't hear it.
Oh, yeah. So now you can't hear it, but I can hear it. Okay, you know what?
God damn
it. Stopping
okay,
this
let's
multimedia
just stop.
Media
let's
experience.
Just stop.
Okay,
we will stop. Come let's back to stop. Alan Lazar next week, though. We're going to stop this because we're making people crazy. But we will get back to Alan Lazar next week because you know what? He deserves some celebration. God damn it.
Oh, he 100% does. He's a wonderful artist, a wonderful American artist, and he should be having a retrospective at the Hollywood Bowl. How about that?
Yeah. Okay, so let's start the show, shall we? It is Christmas by the time we start this recap. Okay, so Mauricio and Kyle are talking, and Kyle's like, are you jet-lagged? Because Mauricio travels all the time now and does not have any time for Kyle because there is an agency open on every fucking block in this country. Okay? Not right. Even farther beyond this country, in the world, there's like an agency. If you go swimming in an ocean, let's say off the coast of Portugal, you're going to find an agency. I don't know if it's a fish carrying an A on its head. You're going to find an agency no matter where you go. There's one on the fucking moon at this point. Okay? They're everywhere.
Literally, it's like SpongeBob is wearing a little agency cap these days. Like, it's everywhere.
I made the mistake, I'd love to just go on realtor.com and look at houses and pretend I'm house shopping literally every day for the past 10 years I've been doing it. So I do that still. And I made the mistake. I was falling asleep in bed. And you know how sometimes you push things on accident? I pushed the contact button. Oh my God. I guess I didn't even have to like do the, are you sure you want to press or whatever? Because I started just getting ring, ring, ring. And I started getting a call from these people from the agency. Those are the most aggressive fucking people at that place. And one of them called and he had a baby screaming in the background. He was it sounded like he was opening a sandwich while he was talking. It was like, I'm counting. I was like, no, I accidentally pressed the button. I don't need you. I'm sorry. And a baby screaming. And he's like, and getting all bitchy with me on the phone. I was like, listen here, agency. Okay, don't fuck with me. You're already everywhere. Don't make me try and just stomp you out. I don't need to feel bitterness towards the agency when it's on every corner.
It sounds like a real grind over there. It's like Glenn Mauricio, Glenn Ross, you know? Like everyone's working to get that Cadillac or whatever they were vying for.
Glenn Maury, Glenn Ross. Ben Maury's Glenn Ross. Glenn
always be opening up the agency.
Coffee is for closers, anything. All right? That's all.
Yeah, it's for closers and yeah.
Come on. Come on, Love Bean. Come on. Love Beans are for closers, okay? Okay. So, So he's like, yeah, I feel fine. Like, how was the dinner here the other night? It's like, ridiculous. It was literally ridiculous. You would not believe it. And so we see flashbacks of the dinner party with Sutton lighting a joint at the table and Denise confronting Erica and Sutton saying, Kyle, what do you want to lose? A third sister? You've already lost two other sisters.
Yeah. And then Kyle does the classic Kyle thing where she goes, I don't even know how this whole thing started, which is
you, Kyle.
Funny.
It was you.
I'm just gonna sneeze off mic here for a second because this is.
Are
I'm
you allergic to
Kyle's
me interrupting
bullshit.
You now? You're gonna be
no,
very full of snot by the end of this.
No, it's not you. I started to say that line and I was like, when Kyle, I was like, oh dear God, Ben, get through the sentence before you sneeze. Let's see, and now it's gone. I talked it out of existence.
I will never let you finish the sentence. That's how we sneezed. Roll.
So Kyle's like. I tried to sneeze on silent, much like my Alan Lazar music. So Kyle's like, there have been like a lot of rumors on the internet. So I'm like talking to Sutton and she kept pushing like there was something I was being secretive about. It's almost like because I was being secretive, she thought that I had something to be secretive about. So then we see a flashback at like very, again, the music's very intense. It's very serious. And all the flashbacks are very serious. It's like Garcelle saying like, what about the wedding band and all that stuff. And Kyle's like, I mean, everybody at the fucking table obviously thinks something now, which, by the way, did not make her happier.
And I love that Kyle's just also kind of flashing her rings at Mauricio, and even he won't ask. He's like nobody cares, Kyle. Okay, she's like really trying so hard to make this happen. And he's like, what? So what, they were asking about our marriage? Well, clearly you told them to fuck off, right? And she's like, no, because she's throwing you under the bus. She's making, listen.
She's like, I'm not going to end this conversation with them.
No, I don't know if he deserves to be thrown under the bus. Is the thing. Do I think that he probably cheated? Yeah, probably. But what the fuck do I know? You know, I just read the tabloids like everybody else. I don't know. And also, he's Mauricio. And also, it's been a rumor forever. So, I mean, my guess on this whole situation has been he probably cheated and she's rebelling by having this storyline that maybe she's the one who cheated this time, which she's kind of leaning into. But I don't know if he cheated or not. So if he did cheat, then I feel bad for saying this. But if he didn't cheat, Kyle is totally throwing him under the bus, right? Because she's... Even like though no one's outright saying it, she's like, what is everybody? So you guys are saying my husband's cheating on me, right? You're saying he's cheating on me. And then she's not correcting them. So if he didn't cheat, she's really fucking him over here. So that's why he's getting annoyed with her now. Because he's like, well, you told him to fuck off, right? She's like, no. They also think you're cheating.
Why would I abort a storyline? yeah, well, you showed everyone the tattoo you got of my name, right? To show that you love me still, right? Yeah, no. So then we see Marisa saying like, you know, like, well, why wouldn't you tell him to fuck off? I mean, I think that's just like fucking mean. I mean, like, it just causes more problems, more rumors, more bullshit, the agency. Sorry, I just wanted to promote my agency. Just wanted to throw in a little promotion there.
And then Kyle actually has the nerve to go, why would anyone be attacking anyone on the marriage? Like, I wouldn't be surprised. I shouldn't be surprised, but here I am. So you've seen that clip that's been going around of the Kyle hypocrite clip where she's basically, who was she talking about? I'm trying to remember the season she was talking about.
I haven't seen the clip, but if we're talking about hypocrisy, I can just watch the last few episodes of Denise Richards' final season. And, you know, if we're, you know, Kyle talking about, like, why would anyone attack anyone's marriage? And then, you know, fixating on Denise possibly having a hookup with Brandi Glanville. I think that answers itself.
Well, it's a clip of Kyle being like, well, I don't understand why you wouldn't talk about your divorce in this group. I mean... Why wouldn't you if we're your real friends? Like being all snotty. So, you know, there you go.
Who got Coyle. Divorced on the show? I mean, people got divorced. I'm trying to think of who was like, who was Kyle?
Erica,
who's Kyle
talking about? I mean, I don't even know. Erica. It could have been so many people. A lot of people got divorced on this show. Let's see. So he's like, you know, it's mean. She's, you know, which is her favorite thing. That's just mean. That is mean. Yeah, that's mean. So she gets up to pass him and he gets up to kiss her. And now he's going to overcompensate because the cameras are there and she won't say that he didn't cheat. So he's going to kiss her too hard, which is gross. That's so he does. And she's like, what?
Those veneers come in fast and hard. You know, you got to be. I felt bad for Kyle in that moment. She probably had a little bruise on her lips.
Felt like IMAX veneers. They're like, these cost extra money to scare you more. Experience my kiss even harder than ever.
It's like being attacked by closet doors. So,
closet doors are out to get me.
His veneers are like those big. I'm looking at his veneers right now. I would show people, except it's messy over there, but like I'm looking at Mauricio's veneers, the wall of white doors that slide left and right.
Yeah. Closet doors are fucking evil. So she's like, don't kiss me like that. And he goes, I can kiss you however I want. And which actually, no, you can't. Stop being gross, Mauricio, okay? The season is already about you kind of maybe cheating. And you're also having every single scene with your wife inside your office with your fucking boxing glove things by the... I mean, just stop, Mauricio.
Branded
you're losing the season. Yes.
I mean, I don't know. I personally, when he said that, I sort of thought he was being jokey. I didn't really take it as a serious, like, sleeping with the enemy moment. But then we go
I'm saying I can kiss you however you want. No, I'm just like caught up between, in a weird way, standing up for Kyle, because I'm anti him if he cheated, but then I'm kind of on his side if he didn't cheat. I just don't know where I'm at right now.
No, you're so in it. You're literally mad at your own adventure book. You're in your choosing your own adventure book. You don't know whether to turn to page 33 or 47.
Yeah, and I figure when in doubt, you know, you could give everybody the benefit of the doubt, or you could just give everybody the benefit of being wrong. And that's what I do. I feel like it's easier. I feel like people are more dependable when you just assume they're all full of shit.
Merry Christmas, everyone. So,
my issues happy are leaking through.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
It's almost that magical time of year.
Speaking of, what's your favorite Christmas story, Ben?
Hands down, The Grinch.
Same.
It cracks me up that he hates all the merriment.
Right, and he steals everyone's presents.
But then it's like so heartwarming at the end when like the whole town is still singing and he realizes that there's more to Christmas than just gifts.
Oh, I know. It hits me right in the feels.
Best part is, Wondery has a new podcast starring The Grinch. And I think there's someone who wants to tell you more about it, Ronnie.
Hi, it's me, the Grand Poobah of Bah Humbug, the OG Green Grump, the Grinch. From Wondery, 'Tis the Grinch Holiday Talk Show is a pathetic attempt by the people of Whoville to use my situation as a teachable moment. So join me, the Grinch. Listen as I launch a campaign against Christmas cheer, grilling celebrity guests like chestnuts on an open fire. Your family will love the show. As you know, I'm famously great with kids.
Follow 'Tis the Grinch Holiday Talk Show on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of issues leaking through, here's Sutton. So Sutton arrives at her store. It's ready for her big 4-year anniversary event. And she walks in with Avi. And I love Avi. Just want to say once again, I love Avi.
He's such a little ass kisser, this Avi guy. I hope that he's taking notes and he's ready to just take Sutton down at some point. That's what I need to see. I need to see a Cedric turn where Avi's like, ha ha. He ends up talking like this. It's like, ha ha. That entire time I was writing a book about the housewives.
Oh, he's going to be like Will Smith's former assistant. You know, you saw that thing that happened a few weeks ago where Will Smith's assistant went on like a talk show and was like, I caught Will Smith having sex with Dwayne Martin or whatever. That's what Avi... Which, by the way, that rumor is like... Yeah. Well, but by the way, that rumor is like 20 years old. I'm sorry. Even I knew about that. Even I. And I'm not connected to, you know, celebrity gossip.
Who's Dwayne Martin?
He is like a... sitcom actor. Gosh. For years there was a rumor that they were like a secret item. I mean, it's a rumor.
Allegedly. I mistyped and wrote Swain Martin, and it's this like teenage pilot. He's like some like Swain little Martin. Teenage pilot, and I was like, oh my god, Will Smith and this teenage pilot, what is going on? Okay, Dwayne Martin. Let me see movies and TV.
Dwayne
shows
Martin was married to Tisha Campbell.
Oh,
so they used to have, actually, I don't know if they still have, they had like a lounge in Studio City. And then the other rumor was, you go to that lounge if you're on the DL. These are the rumors that swirled around for years and years. But again, they're just rumors. So no need to sue us, Will Smith. Although if you sued us, that would be great publicity for our show. But probably don't do it anyway, because it's probably not worth it. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Of course, I'd recognize who this guy is. Okay. So I think he's got bigger
fish
to fry.
The point is, Avi, I can see Avi definitely, if things go south with Sutton, he is going to go on to like a YouTube talk show and be like, well, this is what I know about Sutton Strack. You think she has a problem with drinking? Well, you don't even know the half of it, because she keeps mummies in her basement of former houseboys. And you're like, whoa, Avi.
He portrays... Stephen Lewis on Peacock's modern day reinterpretation, Bel Air. So he's on the Prince of Bel Air.
Sutton lives.
Reboot? Wow, that is spicy. So Will Smith is possibly sleeping with somebody from the new Bel Air.
According to
you know what I want
best
to know where this deal
is.
Was it?
I said, this is according to his best friend of many years / assistant or whatever. The DL Club, I forgot what it was called, but it was right there, sort of close to Universal City. I forget what the club was called.
That's like so obvious. Why would you have a DL Club close to the place where the most tourists go with cameras? I mean, that's just not good thinking. They're like, okay, everyone who's on the DL, meet behind the Jaws exhibit.
Park in Jurassic parking. Take the escalator down to Ventura Boulevard. Make a right. If you've gone to love, if you approach Paquito Moss, you've walked too far. Back
all right,
alley,
everybody.
There's a club.
There's a glory hole behind Jaws. Just make sure that you only splooge once Jaws jumps out of the water and opens his mouth really big when everybody's cameras are out and ready to snap. Like, what the? Who came up with this? This is the worst DL place I've ever heard in my life.
No, it's not at City Walk. It's by Universal. Universal City and City Walk are two different things. City Walk is at Universal Studios, which, by the way, if someone opened up a DL club at City Walk, that would be amazing. By the way, I'm sure there's a lot of DL activity that happens in that water fountain that's embedded in the sidewalk there. You know what I'm talking about?
Where the water comes out of the ground?
The worst
water
fountain.
How can you do anything
to you?
That's also the worst DL place of all time. You're like, okay, the water's hiding. The water's hiding us. Oh, wait, the water just went down. Oh, no.
By the way, for people who have not been to Universal Studios theme park and City Walk, they have this embedded fountain. I feel like this style of fountain was popular around the year 2002. And it's the worst style fountain because it looks like you're just walking on the sidewalk, but then the water shoots up like the Bellagio out of the sidewalk. And if you're not paying attention, you don't realize you've actually walked onto a water fountain. And all of a sudden, you've got water fountain up in your business. It's actually a DL water fountain.
Can you imagine trying to hide a blowjob behind one of those? It's like, you just have to keep jumping.
God, the City Walk is just
water fountain.
Heinous.
It's like, I'm a water fountain. Yes. No, I'm not a water fountain. No, I'm not. I'm just a sidewalk. No,
it's like, I'm a sidewalk.
Just a sidewalk.
I'm a sidewalk,
everybody.
I'm totally
okay,
a sidewalk,
no
guys.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Let it out. No, that wasn't me. Mm-mm.
Nope.
Mm-mm. No, I've got
nope.
a wife and
I don't
kids
know what
and
you
they're
heard.
All sidewalks. Where I'm a sidewalk and I'm married to a sidewalk.
Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? I'm not wet.
Look, I'm a sidewalk. Pedestrians are walking on me. Ah! I'm sorry. That was not me being a water fountain. That was someone dropped a water on me, and you saw it in reverse.
Okay. So here we are at this first scene of the show. So
thank you. This is great. This is great. So Avi is a big proponent of DL water fountains.
Yeah, so, okay, she's getting the store ready, and she's really good at self-promotion. Her first line coming into her store is, wow, what's that smell in here? What is that?
That's a strong, happy anniversary!
And he's trying to ignore her and being like, oh my God, here we are at a party for your store, which is so successful. She's like, no, it smells. What is it? Something smells.
Avi, did you leave another egg roll in the fridge? You have to stop going to Panda Express.
Then someone named Georgia comes, which, of course, you're even hiring someone with a southern state as a name. And she's like, hey, Georgia, what's that smell? What is it? She goes, oh, my God, there's a smell? Yes, there's a smell. It smells like sewage. Oh, my God, Simon.
Georgia, whoever denied it, supplied it. Hate to break it to you, I think we all know Georgia had a little...
Georgia just came from that water fountain.
Georgia.
Sloppy-ass Georgia.
Georgia got an unexpected enema from that water fountain. And it's been wreaking havoc ever since.
So now a party planner comes, and I just want to say, Sutton's is not very economical, okay? She talks a lot about, like, oh, my store is making it on its own this year. It's so finally, we have learned how to budget. You have not learned how to budget shit. You've got, like, 10 employees there. What is your store like? It's the size of, like, a sunglass kiosk at the mall. How many employees do you need? Get some fucking sushi from down the street at the Ralph's and put it out there. But no one can even fit in this thing.
there's a salt and straw two steps away from your place. Go get some scoops. So this party planner comes in, and the party planner's name, but by the way, I have never been more amused by a last name. Her name is Nicole Hursty. She is one letter away from literally having the last name of Thirsty. Which, by the way, she's totally not thirsty on this show, but I just think it's hilarious that finally we get someone on the show whose name is basically Thirsty. And
name is Teresa, and she refuses to use it.
Well, actually, you know what's funny is that her full name is Nicole Hursty Sane. S-A-I-N-E. So she has Sane and Thirsty basically in her name. So I mean, that's, she should be a reality star. I don't know why, like, she's already branded because, you know, she's not sane. Just throwing bombs everywhere today.
So then Sutton's like, wow, you know what, here we are. I dreamt of having a store for 10 years, and I got a store 4 years ago, and we loved it. It was so pretty, and in 4 years we're still here. You know, and people just, they didn't believe in me, you know, and I want to celebrate that. I just want to celebrate that. I have paid the rent for 4 years on this store, being a multi-zillionaire. It is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it is impressive that she stayed open through the pandemic, but also she's getting $300,000 a month, so probably not too much of an issue. So,
listen, that's still her money. Like, you still earn that money. Like, the producers tried to shame her because she's like, and I've done it without anybody else's money. And they were like, did you use your divorce money? She goes, yeah, of course. And they kind of try and shame her. Listen, if you marry somebody, like, they got married in college. She worked with his ass. She raised those kids. I mean, that's her money. I don't think she should be looked down upon. Yeah. I just think it's funny when you have like $1 zillion, you're like, it is amazing. I am still open. Well, I mean, yeah, but
you know what?
You're rich.
This shop is like my esophagus, still open. So she says, you know,
barely, it's struggling. And you know, don't try and ask it to take in an entire piece of pizza. But it's here. It's still here.
And I am here. So she says, you know, I thought this is the sort of sweet little thing that I'm going to do. And all of a sudden it became like a business. And then it became a bigger business. And now I have a second business that I'm pairing on top of the first business. And everything has happened quickly. And it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Got a terrible vending machine because my son doesn't know how to do his job. So, you know, someday maybe it'll be an even bigger business once it has proper snacks involved. But for right now, I've become a business woman.
I'm business. You know, first I sold shirts with my name on them. Then I sold bags with my name on them. Then I sold bags with shirts inside of them with drawings of my face on them. So it's basically Target now.
I'm a business woman. Isn't that phrase businesswoman or businessman, that name, isn't that a funny word? That's what I was thinking about. Like,
are you stoned? You know,
she does business. She does. I wish. She does business. She's a businesswoman. Like, what a silly phrase. I have a business. You're a businesswoman. It's just like a very Lisa Vanderpump thing. Like, I have my manila envelope because I do business envelope. Businesswoman. Business.
Well, I'm a carb person, so I guess it makes more sense to me. I like easy labels like that, you know? Businesswoman does business. Carb man does carbs.
There are just some words in the English language that we just are so used to, we don't even question them. But like, if you think about it, businessman or businesswoman is such a silly creation of a word. It's sort of like if you go to a stadium, concessions. That is a hilarious thing to call food. I'm going to have a concession. I'm conceding. I was going to eat well today, but I'm going to have to concede. Give me the Kit Kat.
I'm going to allow that you were correct in this argument. Thank you for covering these nuts in chocolate. They are delicious.
Hey, Sandy there behind the counter. You're right. Your mom is awful. Thank you for this M&M's. I appreciated it. I've conceded.
You know what I found? My Lisa Rinna lips. We made these during the pandemic, these masks with Lisa Rinna. This is when Lisa officially unfollowed me. They were in my drawer. We made these masks of Lisa Rinna's gigantic lips, and I've had them in my desk drawer, and I sent her a DM with these lips, and I was like, aren't these funny? And then she unfollowed me. So that was the end of that. Okay, so anyway, that was just a little story that's neither drawer. Here nor there.
I'm looking in my drawer to see if I have any fun props, but I don't have it. I have a galley. Oh, here's a fun prop. Most Hated, a novel by one of the Real Housewives of Toronto, Kara Alloway. Kara, congratulations on your galley.
Love it.
She sent it to me and then like months ago was like, so do you want to mention it at all? I never did. So congratulations. Here it is. Most Hated by Kara Alloway.
There you go. Also, I'm sorry we're so loopy today, everybody. We're not even close to the Christmas holiday. We have more than a week left, but we're acting like it's the last day of school. Winter. Enjoy. I mean, sorry. Sorry for putting you through pain, but also, yeah, don't expect anything more today.
We just want to have fun. Okay, so yeah. Sutton's like, they're talking about the food and everything, setting up the food, and she goes, listen, don't worry about the food. Look, everyone's on, what's that, Octavia? What's it called? Olympic? Ha, 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 ha. Acting like she's completely not on it whatsoever.
Uh-huh. Yeah, like nobody knows what it is. So funny. Nobody's on it. Nobody can pronounce it yet. It's a week late over on my end because everybody's fucking on it. Okay. And if you're not on it and you don't know somebody that's on it, you're a fucking liar. Okay. I'm sick of hearing about it. Just take your fucking Ozempic and shut the fuck up about it. I mean, if anything, we're all just going to save money on dinner bills. Like, who's complaining? Stop your bitching, everybody. So Sutton is like, I just don't even know what that's called. What is it? What is it? And they're like, oh, it's called Ozempic, Sutton. She goes, yeah, well, everyone's doing that, so we don't have to have much food. So now listen, this is an important night for me, and I love that I'm doing it on my own. And this is where the producer's like, so you're using spousal support. And she's like, yeah. Of course. Jesus Christ.
So then Crystal FaceTimes Sutton, and I noticed this. This is very funny to me. I love that as soon as Sutton gets a FaceTime, Avi comes in with this like little prop. It was like a little elephant, and just like puts it right there. So it's because Sutton cannot hold up her own phone. So, which I get, by the way, I would love to have an assistant who just slides a little white elephant behind my phone so I can look at it. But I just love that he is like right there with that elephant. He is in full Beverly Hills assistant mode.
Yeah.
Did you see that? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I just don't have anything to add to it. I was just dreaming of what kind of life that must be. If like someone just walked in with a white elephant to prop my shit up on. I'm like, wow, that life is amazing.
It reminds me, sorry guys, here's a tangent. Just everyone deal with it.
No more sorries. And you know what? I'm sorry for saying sorry. Fuck that.
This actually takes us back. We're going back to Universal Studios because
yes, good. I need a blowjob, but I don't want anybody to know about it. Especially because I have no hunger because of all this Olympic I'm on.
So this is pertaining to the white elephant thing with the phone. Back in 2002, I was a production assistant on a sitcom called Three Sisters. It had like two seasons. It was a terrible sitcom. And one of the cast members was Diane Cannon. And and this was at Universal Studios. It was shot at Universal Studios. That's the tie-in there. But one thing, it was a multi-cam sitcom. And when they changed sets, there was like this whole area where the cameras had to come through. And at one point, the cameras needed to come through. And Diane Cannon was sitting in like the director's chair kind of thing, getting glam done. And she had to move. So me as a PA, I had to go up to Miss Diane Cannon and say, hi, I'm so sorry, but the cameras are coming through. Do you mind like just moving back a little bit? And she looked at me as if I literally said, I have just abducted your children and I'm holding them from ransom. And even if you give me the money, I'm going to kill them. She gave me such a horrified look, and all her gaze looked at me even more horrified. It was like three Avis. They looked at me and then they lifted Diane up in her chair and moved her back, you know, out of the way. It was like, but it was like, I love that. It was like the gaze just were like, oh, We know what we need to do for our diva right this moment. Because she was like, I am not going to get out of this chair. And it's like, that's what this reminded me of. Like Sutton being like, I'm getting a FaceTime, but I'm not touching this phone. Someone prop it up for me. Long story, but it like same energy for me. It just brought me back to that place. I'm sorry, Diane, if you're hearing this.
I want those gays. I just feel like we would never have those gays because like if we did it, they'd be like, do it yourself, you lazy fuck. I'm pushing your button.
Do gays have gays though?
I don't think
gays
so.
Have different gays. They're a different style of gay entourage.
I feel like it's not the same like thing. You know what I mean? Like if a gay has, if a housewife has a gay, that's like a very specific gay. But if a gay has even that same kind of gay that. Like Mikey with us would be like, fuck you. You don't even know how to step ball change. I'm fucking out of here until you fucking learn what the hell you're doing. And once you decide to respect me, you can give me a call and maybe PayPal me something. And I might decide to check my Venmo on your ass and maybe show up if I fucking feel like it. Love you. Bye. See you later.
Like, even if they like you, they'll still like not drop your phone on a fucking white elephant. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. But if you're like a diva, then the gays just will literally tumble up and do everything for you, including prop up your phone because you can't do it yourself.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Yeah. Okay. So Crystal's like, oh, hi. And she goes, oh my God, what's wrong with you? She's like, I'm just tired. Jesus.
Crystal giving need to go to urgent care energy. So
so rude. Like, who says that? This is why I don't even use FaceTime. I don't want people like judging me every damn time I pick up the phone. Who looks good every time they pick up the phone?
They're like, you are on television, ma'am. So Crystal's asking about the event. Is everyone still invited? Is Kyle going to come? And Sutton's like, I mean, I don't want her to come if we're going to fight, but I'm not playing around. I employ people and I run a business and it is important. And to hear Kyle making these accusations about like drinking is so ridiculous. And then when you told me that it's not just Kyle, it's also Dorit, that pisses me off. I was so mad I had to have 3 cocktails this morning. Furious.
And then we cut to the, I mean, I've had a gallon to get over this, okay? You know, the only person that would really listen to me talk about this is my good friend Belvedere, Mr. Belvedere. Very, I'm sorry, what were we talking about?
He does have streaks on the china, I'll tell you that much.
So we get a flashback to Dorit and Kyle talking to Crystal about it, about Sutton drinking. And Dorit's like, well, Sutton is a drinker. And Kyle's like, yeah. And you know what? Vodka can make people mean. I know that much. I know. Oh, yeah. You're a real fucking expert over there, Betty Ford. Just be quiet, okay? You stop drinking for about 5 minutes and you don't get to like to jump on Kim. This bandwagon again.
She did have to deal with Kim and Kim's darker chapters of her life. So I will give her an ounce of credibility on that statement. She probably had Kim throwing apples and magic markers at her. So Sutton's like,
I mean, she still does, you know, some things we need to thank vodka for. Okay. And Kim is an artist. It is, how dare you?
It is funny to think of office supplies being thrown at Kyle. Just any like a stapler, post-its. So Sutton's like, I mean, it is the most ludicrous, dangerous accusation that they're trying to put out there. And I am stomping it out right now. I mean, this could hurt my business. It could hurt my custodial arrangements. My ex-husband could take my child away if this gets out. I mean, which would be amazing because last I heard his arm was stuck up a vending machine and he needed to be extracted. But anyway, he could be taken to England. I mean, what are these girls doing?
How old are her children? Because she has 3, right? So I think the vending machine one is a different one. So she has 3 kids, Porter, Philip, and James. So how old are they?
What about the girl? Just get the girl is Porter.
Porter. That's Porter.
Porter. Right? Porter. Yeah, that's right. I named my daughter after a future employee. Porter.
I just wanted my child to be raised with a name that implies work. Even though she probably will never have to. I've named my children Porter, Busboy, and Coat Check. So.
Coat Check. Coat Check actually sounds like a Southern name. You know, like Brick. Like, oh, here's my son Brick, and here's my son Coat Check.
Okay, so we
sure
cut
about
back.
Coat check. Like, he's known to run around fountains at Universal City. Anyway, go on, run.
So we cut back, and Sutton's like, this is unbelievable. I cannot believe people are calling me a drinker. Olive. What? I mean, period.
Did you just...
Period.
Did you just time a burp into that?
A little bubble just floats up. I mean, Sutton, come on, girl. So, yeah, it could hurt her custodial arrangements and all that. So she's like, okay, well, we
and
are...
By that, I mean, because my son is also my custodian. He cleans up the messes around here that Georgia leaves.
And I hate calling him that because he has a cousin named Custodian, which makes it kind of awkward. We're a blue collar, we're a blue collar in the blood kind of a family.
Blue collar kind of family. My nephew Broom is calling. Hey, Broom.
That's not even a job. That's just something that people with jobs use. But it's a cousin we don't really like. Yeah. They never really caught on to the whole... They're the poor ones.
Oh, hold on. Here's my friend from France. I'm my niece from France. Hey, valet. How you doing?
Oh, my God. I just got off with Broom. What an embarrassment to the family. You know, his mother, Swiffer, really should have thought a little harder. I mean, seriously, just call us for some ideas.
Well, it's better than his no-good brother, Mop. Okay.
Okay. So, Sutton is blah-blahing about the store, and Crystal's like, oh, my God, you need at least 10 drinks for that. And she says, yeah, well, I'm going to have 10. Well, I thought I would double up tomorrow, maybe. And she says, yeah, and then the day after, I'm going to shame you for it, so you better get ready. Bitch, what? Bitch, what? Okay, I don't know why you're finger gunning me right now, but I'm on the house with other people right now, so I'm just going to pretend that didn't happen. Okay, go put yourself in a ponytail and get some moisturizer going. I believe in you.
So now we go over to Kyle's house for her therapist and life coach, Jamie, to come over. Jamie was like, I'm going to be on TV, so I'm going to wear a tight sweater. So they come over, and they have to lock the door in the room that they're in because Bambi, the wild golden retriever who spent, I feel like, a season eating people's sandwiches off coffee tables, now knows how to open doors with his paws.
Those dogs, listen, we've been saying this for years. Those dogs just want out. That's all they want. You know how there are some things on TV? Well, you don't know. You don't have a dog. Well, maybe you do know. I don't know. But there are some things on TV. I'm like, does the dog even see what's on the TV? Because maybe he doesn't see the dimensions of it. Because, like, he doesn't care. There could be screaming and yelling. He just looks away. But there are some things where he just, like, watches the whole thing. Like, he's enraptured, you know? And I think that Kyle's dogs, like, the only thing that you can count on them paying attention to is a preview for Get Out. They just want to leave. These dogs, that was a really long way of saying, these dogs just want to, just let them go. Open the door and just let them go. I've never seen, they're like tying sheets together in the fucking back room trying to figure out a way to help each other down the windows of the second floor.
It is literally like Maggie Simpson in that episode where she escapes the daycare. Or Toy Story.
Carl's like, my dogs don't know how to stay in when I'm asking them to, but they do know how to use their opposable thumbs now because they're using spoons to make holes in the wall. It's just the weirdest thing. I just don't know where that's coming from. Let them out.
So Kyle has a scene that I thought was going to just be like a, you know, like a self-serving scene about like her sisters and stuff. But it actually is like a really, really sad scene because something we had heard about. But the first time that it's really been explored on the show is that her like best friend in the world died by suicide. And it's like, it is really sad to hear Kyle talk about it. No answers, no understanding why. To me, it gives actually a lot of insight into what's going on into the season because I think I would not be surprised. In fact, some people even wrote in to us or wrote on our Instagram, like, chances are, like, Mauricio was not there for her the way she needed, and that probably really made her re-examine the marriage. I mean, that's something, that is something that can really affect a relationship. And also, it actually makes me think about Morgan Wade a little bit. Like, obviously the big rumor is, oh my God, lesbian love affair, but it is also possible that Kyle is really in need of filling the void that, you know, of like having a certain kind of, a certain style of best friend. That style sounds like almost shallow, but like, you know, someone who fills the role that her friend had taken. So it adds a lot of layers to this, but ultimately it was just really sad and tragic.
Yeah, it was really sad. And also, you know, this is one of the only times I think I've ever said this. This was a very good therapy scene. Usually the therapy scenes on here are like, oh my God, you don't even go to this therapist. This is like some internet quack. I don't believe this. This one I believed. I thought this was a good therapist. And you could tell. And I mean, he said, like, I've been talking to you for 20 years or something. Or they said they've been in therapy for 20 years. And you could really tell, like, he knows her very well. And he, I thought, was really good at kind of listening to what she's saying, but also telling her, listen, you've got kind of an obsessive part of you that... that's how you're wired. And so you have to remember that you're just going through these loops because of that. Right. But also, even if this is what your sisters or these other people are doing to you, it's still your decision ultimately on how, I mean, I don't know. It was just very good therapy. As someone who needs it and has used it quite a bit, I thought it was good. It didn't come off as like useless shitty therapy, like reality show therapy to me. So it was good. It was an interesting scene.
Good.
And obviously we're not gonna like rag on Kyle during this scene. Like, we wouldn't, and there's nothing to rag on, really.
But it does, to me, it really does give me a larger context to what's going on in her life, or I guess it sort of opens up like a deeper consideration of what she might be going through. It may not be as simple as like, oh, there was an affair, or it might not be as simple as like, oh, she's having a lesbian thing with Morgan Wade. Now I'm like, there could be like actually like really like sad, really sad. Well, we always knew there's some sad stuff that's driving all this, as is always the case on the show, because Beverly Hills is one of the darkest, if not the darkest, Real Housewives. But it was really sad, and I also enjoyed the therapy in this one. So I was all ready to make fun of it too. I was like, a life coach. I was like, Kyle, you're rich. You can get like an actual therapist, not a life coach, but it was pretty good.
Yeah. So
let's go on to something more entertaining. Garcelle and her son.
Oh my God.
The scene that we always look forward to every episode.
Yes. So in this one, we get to meet Ashlyn. So Ashlyn, very pretty, seems very sweet. This is one of those young couples you're like, oh my God, shut up. Why am I at dinner with you? Go to a different table. Because they're like, oh my God, I love you. No, I love you. What are you going to order? I want to order that. No, what are you going to order? I love you. Oh my God, are we going to see more of each other? Pinky promise? Pinky promise. Should I take a selfie of us while I promise? Because then it's really going to... Oh my God. I remember feeling this way. And I just wish someone was there with a fly swatter to smack me in the face and be like, he's a douchebag, honey.
That's why if you ever go to a Brazilian steakhouse and see Ronnie walking around with a fly swatter, he's just paying it forward. So
I'm just looking for kids to educate.
Patrolling.
I'm like, it's me, your auntie Ronnie. We haven't met yet, but
he's a douchebag, honey. Eat your cheese roll and move on. Jade tells a story, is talking about how apparently he like talks on the phone with her like late at night, and then sometimes she's like asleep but he still stays on, and then she's like, well, if that happens, you've got to hang up. And he's like, but what if you wake up again? Which in some way was very cute, but also like maybe not the most compelling television. So the point is that
well, it's also like, listen, this is scary, okay? Like, it's like cute when you're in love with the person, but when you're trying to break up with them, it's not cute. It's like, but what if you change your mind when you're waking up?
But you know, sweet kids. Garcelle's done a good job with her kids, I think. They seem like two really smart and lovely boys. and wish them all the luck. Don't necessarily need as many updates on them, but you know, happy that they're doing well. So,
well, it is now a Real Housewives show, you know, and it's funny because we're like just two gay guys. We just want to see like divas going to battle, and it's so funny that every time a real scene comes on, we're like, oh my god, no one watches it for this. When of course the target audience probably does watch it for this, you know. But we're like, oh my god, we got it. But like, you had a baby.
Like, yeah, but honestly, yes, because okay, here's what I want from my housewives scenes. I want them either together gossiping, I want them at a party confronting each other about something stupid. I want them being tone deaf somewhere. I love when they're tone deaf. I don't care what people say. I love a tone deaf housewife because then we all laugh at them. That's the whole point. I also like when they interact with their parents, and so that's why Salt Lake City is so good for me, because it's mainly just that. Fights in sprinter vans, baseless accusations, Linda, you know. That's what I like. Linda. I don't need to see the teens. I don't need to see the teens and the tweens and the babies.
Yeah. So then we go to what else? Yeah, I mean, I was just like, well, okay, this scene. But, you know, it was cute. And Garcelle is such a mom with a son who's got a girlfriend, where she's like, oh, aren't you sweet, Ashlyn? Wow, Ashlyn, aren't you sweet? And she goes, you know, Ashlyn, the other night I wanted to watch a movie with my son, and fortunately he couldn't because he wanted to watch you sleep. And she's like, oh my god, honey, like, you have to watch a movie with your mom. And she doesn't even look at her, and she goes, that's why I like you, Ashlyn. That's why I like you. She's like, yeah, pinky promise you're going to watch a movie with your mom. Pinky promise. And Garcelle's like, aren't you sweet? Now he has to get fucking permission from this little girl to get watch a movie with his mother.
Yeah. Things are not going to last very long between Ashlyn and Garcelle. This is, Garcelle's going to be like, get out of my house. So then we go over to Anne Marie in her kitchen. This is like getting to learn about Anne Marie's family, and I will give a pass because we need to learn about her family, so we'll see her children. It's fine. But one thing I was surprised about was like she's serving her kids like waffles and pancakes, but they all want Frosted Flakes instead. And I'm like, you're choosing, I mean, Frosted Flakes are delicious, but you're choosing that over waffles and pancakes? To me, there's some problems here. The value system is all turned around.
Well, my thing is, Anne Marie's gotten on my nerves a little so far just because she's so far up Kyle's ass that it's really hard to watch, because she's basically just coming in to do Kyle's dirty work is what it seems like so far. So I don't really like her. But I will say this scene turned me a little, because I love the options in her home. Waffles, I know, pancakes, Frosted Flakes. I was like, this sounds like heaven. Like, I was actually checking my pulse. I was like, have I had a heart attack? Am I still on this earth?
And I was like, how is she doing this? And also, I was like, and then it seemed like in the end they got all three. And I was like, what? How is this? This has to be performative. Okay, this has to be. This is ridiculous.
And then we meet her husband, Marcellus, who's doing the Tony the Tiger. They're great. And she tells us about how they've been married 9 years. And she's like, when Marcellus and I first met, there was like a lot of women going after him. But from day one, like, he just owned our relationship. And that's just been it. And, you know, he told me the first night I was going to be his wife. And he just acted accordingly every step of the way. So I guess I won.
Sure did. Hey, just don't read any headlines. Don't read any headlines, okay?
But exactly. And then we get to this part, okay? Because she's like, look at me. I won, the best man in the world. And then literally her next line is, yeah, Marcellus, he's always telling me the reason he fell in love with me is because he's like, you're an 8.5 at everything. He's like, you're not a 10 in looks, you're not a 10 as an athlete, and you're not a 10 in brains. But you are an 8.5 at everything you do. And like, you know, not a lot of people can say that. Okay, fuck off. Listen, I don't need you to actually think I'm a 10 at everything, but I need you to fucking tell me I'm a 10 at everything.
Tell me.
Who marries an honest person? Get the fuck out of my car and stop calling me your fucking wife. Get out. Go. Walk.
He basically called her Mario, right? Like, you know, when you play Super Mario Brothers, you know, like Princess Peach, she floats. Luigi jumps really fast. Toad picks up everything fast. But Mario is like the most boring one.
You can't kill. Like, there's one that can't die. Or the little purple one with the stitched eyes. What's that one called? For babies, like what the baby plays in.
Nightmare Fuel. The little one with stitched eyes.
Yeah, it's a little purple bunny thing.
Yeah, I was going back to Super Mario Brothers 2, old school style.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about, though. Either way, the point is that Mario has no special abilities, but can do everything kind of well, but doesn't excel in anything. So he's always like the least interesting one to choose. And he basically just called her Mario. Like, you don't excel at anything, but you're a solid 8.5 with everything else. So enjoy that.
Yeah, I mean, that's like a divorce time. Bye. Who says that? Wow, great. What a good but not excellent job you've done, honey. Bye. Divorce.
You're reliably. You know what I'm going to start calling you, honey? Toyota. You know, you're just reliable. You're going to last a long time. You mind if I start calling you Corolla?
I would call you Alexis, but I don't want you to get a big head. So let's just go RAV4. Let's just stick with it.
No, RAV4 is really in demand. Let's do a... What about Camry? How about I just call you Cam? Cammy Camry. How about Cam? That?
Hello there. This is a two-part recap, okay? This is the end of part one. So thank you so much for listening to this. Just come back a little later for part two.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
She's the wind beneath our Jennifer Wing.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch. It's Victoria Kotchett.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.